Hey guys, welcome to the Dad's Group podcast. My name is Blair.
And I'm Burnsy. And here at Dad's Group, our whole thing is about helping fathers and helping families. And part of how we do that is with this podcast. And at the start of every podcast, we actually go back to the last episode and try and open up some of the things that we heard and try and reflect and keep learning, keep digging deeper so that we can really implement some of the things, the tricks, info that we're hearing.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to just like listen to something and not apply it. So that's kind of what we're going to try and do with every episode, the beginning of one. But we also would love for you guys to join in on those conversations. So if you have any questions or topics you would like discussed on this podcast, then please get in touch via info@dadsgroup.org or through one of our social media platforms.
Yeah. So Blair, last episode we heard from Dr. Justin Coulson, the founder of Happy Families, like basically professional dad, which is sort of cool. I'm sort of a bit jealous of that. He gets to be a dad as a profession. But one of the things he talked about was that happy families have fun. So what about for you guys? Like, what's something that you guys do for fun that builds out that connection or, you know, like it helps you feel more together as a family unit?
Oh, man, my family is crazy, dude. We have a lot of fun with just random things. But something for sure is dance parties. You know, like we really try, like when we do cleaning or something like that. Not every time, because like we've discussed last week, I get cranky pants sometimes, right? But when we try to make fun of it, you know, we try to have fun with it, dance parties and just enjoy it that way. My kids are going through a season of their loving telling jokes, but they're the worst jokes. They're not even jokes, dude. It's like, why did the chicken cross the road? Because he's got poop. Like, it's just things like that. Like, it makes zero sense. But they're all about the poops and the butts and the toilets and all those sort of jokes at the moment. Dance parties are a big one for us. What about you, mate?
Yeah, mate. I think for us, similar to dance parties, my little fella, he's basically been raised with music. So anytime he hears music, like the other day we were at the cafe waiting in line and he was listening to the music and I could feel his foot start to kick because front carrier. And I was like, hey, buddy, do you want to dance? And so he starts really grooving. So I start grooving and everyone in the cafe is just like looking at us like, what's wrong with you guys?
It's more like, what's wrong with them? Yeah. Get into this good song.
Yeah, good music. Yeah. I think the other thing is like for all of us in my life, my son, myself, like if we're outdoors, that's where we're having fun. So like if we're going hiking, even just going around the corner to the park, just getting outdoors for us. Yeah. And you know, just add water. Like it's the other thing. Like anytime you know, we're around water, we're just, you know, playing, we're losing, like just having like those laughing fits where like, you know, like you're tearing up a little bit, you're laughing so hard, like choking and like snorting and stuff.
The sexy type. But you can say that about water, dude. You're in Queensland, man. I'm in Victoria and it's like, all right, I'm like going to the water, but I grew up in Queensland and I live in Victoria. I've never been able to get used to Victorian beaches. It's too cold, man. It's too cold. Yeah. But one thing that another thing we like to do is Emmy and I try to take turns in date nights. So one-on-one with the kids. So we're taking turns of doing one-on-one. So we're trying to have our group things like dance parties and being silly and all that sort of stuff. And then also with fun, you know, we have a date night, maybe once a month or a little bit more if we can. Rotate through each kid. And they're super special, dude, because like, you know, with four kids, you know, it's just noise. Like it's just chaos and noise, right? But then you bring them out on their own and then that one child just blossoms. You know, the conversations you have are so much deeper, even with my 3-year-old dude, like, you know, it's so much deeper or just so much more intentional, and you just really see them being drawn out, like their personalities and all that sort of stuff. So one-on-one dates are amazing. We love that.
I think the other thing, and this is probably more like take a step back big picture, is like just sort of taking things less seriously. And, you know, like I know there's the image of like the corny, cheesy dad, and, you know, like tells jokes and, you know, sits on the end of the bed and gives encouragement. And, you know, but I think that mentality of just like taking a step back and you know, having some of that curiosity. Like I was watching an episode of Bluey with my little fella yesterday, and it was the one where Bandit pretends like he was born yesterday, and so everything is brand new.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just thought, like, that's such an awesome way to approach it. Like, you can't, like, yes, you can still get upset when they like spill stuff or, you know, like do something annoying, but I think you come in with a bit more grace and a bit more, I guess, freedom just to be in that moment with your kid, instead of like, I have to clean this up now, and then, you know, like, that's going to make us late for the, like, you can just take that step back and go, like, everything is new for them, every sensation, every experience. And yeah, I think sometimes I just try and challenge myself to have that mindset. And
yeah, that's really good.
Like, it just, like, you can take things a bit more lighthearted. And like, you know, lately, my little fellow, like, he'll ask for apple.
Yeah.
And we give him apple every time, even though we know that he'll sort of chew it up and keep cramming it in until like he can't chew it. And then it all just comes cascading out like a waterfall of chewed up apple and juice. And it's, and like, yes, we could get upset with that, but also it's just really funny. Like, it's just really funny to watch. Or even like, he did a nasty fart the other day and we were just laughing at him and he starts laughing. And like, yeah, I think there are times where like, yeah, we could take things really seriously or we could just sort of laugh at it and not take it as seriously.
Yeah.
And that's really challenging, but that's something that I've been trying to implement a bit more.
That's really, that actually stands out to me quite a lot, dude. I know, like, hearing you say that, I'm like, oh man, I want to do that. Like, you know, not the stinky farts, but like the, I want to be able to be more lighthearted about things. Like, you know, if the kids draw on themselves or whatever else, like, you know, obviously we want to teach them not to do certain things, but
yeah,
you know, yeah. To find that balance is something I really love to work on for myself. It's just like, oh man, let it go. Like, it's not a big deal at the end of the day. Like, just enjoy the moment, enjoy your kids, enjoy your family. Definitely something I want to work on for sure. How do you do that? How do you prepare for that? Like, you know, in the moment, like, how do you sort of have those, like, yeah, because you could go either way, right? Like, how do you choose to make it a lighthearted moment?
Look, I think I'm naturally a bit of a happy-go-lucky, lighthearted guy anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of a bit, I go there anyway.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it's just, you know, we talked about in the last intro to the last episode about that work that you do before you get there, which is so important. But I think too, like, just constantly reminding myself, like, you know, we've been on Earth how many years? Like, my little fella's not even, you know, like, he's barely 2 years. Like, he's you know, that difference of experience, and just reminding myself that, like, he is little.
Yeah.
Everything is new. And even like, I guess for you with older kids, like, you know, they're still little comparatively, like things are still new for them. And I think just sort of approaching it with the inner child instead of the inner critic.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. Like, there are things that I guess as we get older, we just shut ourselves off to the experience of, or, and I think Lael talked about this in episode one of this season of like, the things that we stop, like that imagination, that curiosity, that playfulness, we sort of shut ourselves off to because, well, you know, need to be serious now, earn the money and pay the tax, you know, I think, and I think it's about letting myself learn from him, from my little fellow, and letting him teach me the joy of these little things. Like, he spits out that apple and he's just cacking himself. And I'm like, yeah, actually, that is funny. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I've just shoved my mouth full of apple and I've spat it out everywhere. Yeah. That actually is sort of hilarious to watch. Like, so yeah, I guess letting him, and this is the beauty of Bluey, isn't it?
That,
you know, Bandit as a father is just letting himself be led by his kids in play.
Yeah.
And that's what creates all of the fun and the imagination and the games and the, you know, and I think that's something that I try and push myself towards more and more each day, is like letting him lead me in those situations. Like, and there's a little bit of humbling and putting the ego aside and putting the seriousness aside. But yeah, I think there's a little bit of, letting him lead that dynamic and bringing that fresh perspective on things.
Yeah, so good, man. That's awesome.
Like with your family, when you do those fun things, how does that change the dynamic, or how have you noticed that change the dynamic?
Yeah, massive, dude. Because it's like, you know, so we do a dance parties, for example, like I shared. Now my kids just want to dance. Like, you know, yeah. I'll come out, like Ellie especially, she'll just like, there'll be music on something. She'll be like, dance with me. It's just something that, you know, is part of our thing now, which is really cool. So, no, I definitely saw those changes. And I think my wife does it really well. And this is the thing is like, you know, it's just so important to be doing this as a family unit, you know, like to be putting in those, having these conversations, like what do we want our family to look like? What are some fun things that we can do? Like not trying to have that on my own, because my wife just comes up with so much gold, dude, like just so much good stuff. And so, yeah, so we just do that as a family now, like just have fun. The jokes as well, the kids just think they're hilarious. And then it's the thing is like, I'll laugh because they're so stupid. Like it doesn't make any sense. It gets me every time. But then there's the part of like, all right, stop saying butt. All right, you said butt plenty of times now, dude. Like I don't need to hear it anymore. Poop or toilet. And the big thing at the moment is calling me a toilet head. I don't get it. But no, it just brings in the culture of like, we want to be fun, but never at each other's expense. So it's never jokes about people, even though they call me toilet head. But I'm really keen for this episode that we're about to go into, dude. It's so solid.
Yeah, who have we got this week?
This week we got Don Alford. Don Alford is a part of Support for Fathers. These guys are just great collaborators with Dad's Group. Support for Fathers is a program that helps dads and father figures by giving them advice and resources about being a good parent and partner, as well as building strong relationships with their children. So there's a lot of resources there out for you guys to check them out, supportforfathers.com.au, I think, or .org, or one of those things. But just Google Support for Fathers, check them out. There's a lot of amazing resources out there for dads. So I hope you guys enjoy. We'll talk to you soon.
Dom, today we're going to cover a number of different areas. Firstly, we want to make sure we cover, I guess, the large amount of work that you've done in that fatherhood space, which has really positively impacted fathers and mothers and babies in that perinatal space. We also want to understand a bit more about who is Dominic Alford, and I guess understand and have you share a little bit about your personal experience with fatherhood, maybe looking up towards the father figure or father you might have had, and then looking down to your children and the father that you want to be or you have been. Inside that, we also ask some questions, I guess, intentionally to highlight some of the things that you're proud of and you want to share as success stories, and which effectively turn into little tips for new fathers. Also, we want to share, if you are able to, do some of your vulnerabilities or failings, and that you also can translate into things that new fathers can see and learn from. I think wisdom is not knowledge is learning about, you know, how to do something. Wisdom is learning from others. And I think that's what this is about learning from others in a positive sense. And also just to help everyone else normalize that experience of fatherhood and realize just how we're all on the same level playing field in this space. It can be challenging. It is always going to be challenging, but there's also some amazing parts to it. But Dom, let's start with where you work and I guess what you do in that space in relation to fathers and fatherhood.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so I work for Relationships Australia Victoria. And I work on the Support for Fathers project, which we've been running for 4.5 years now, and which is just fantastic that we've been able to run it for that long. Initially, it was only meant to be 2 years, so it's great that, and we've got another 12 months of federal funding for that, but our organisation's really committed to probably to run that sort of independently as well, and we're sort of working on our way towards that. I like it because that's unique that you get a project that runs for more than 2 years. You know, it was meant to just be, you see lots of great ideas and projects out there that come and go really quickly and people, you know, don't pick it up. So I love working at Relationships Australia Victoria, because they just sort of, they can see the, I guess, the vision, and they got a bit of vision and can see that there's a lot of work, great work we can do there, and sort of potential, I think. So
I think you've had a big role in showing that to them as well, like your role in highlighting that to the management and to the executive around, you know, the importance of this space and the importance of your presence in this space and some of the work you've done. I guess that leads us to what is some of the work you've done. You've you know, from 4 years ago to where you are now, there's actually quite a lot of some milestones that you've achieved. And how would you perceive some of the more meaningful milestones for you in that fatherhood space or resources space?
Yeah, I think we've got some resources for dads, and they're just some topic-based resources, just about topics about fatherhood, about different ways that men can be dads. I really like that. That's sort of the what resonates the most with dads and father figures is that talking about different ways that they can be as dads, different things they can do. And what I love most is that they learn from each other just as much as they learn from me. And that's sort of our approach really with everything, is that we don't want them to think that this is just it. This is what, you know, when they read one of our resources or attend a workshop or something, that we want them to sort of, that's just the starting point. And we're not really the experts, but we're giving them some ideas and kind of trying to give them a bit of a, just trying to map out give them a bit of a pathway, I guess, to sort of find out what works for them.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And so new dads trying to find out where to get the support, where do they go?
It's supportforfathers.com.au is our website. And you can go there and check out the resources or sign up for a workshop. At the moment, they're just online, and so sort of dads from all across Australia can attend, and that's really great. It works really well. We do some workshops for local councils and organisations on request. So we go to different parts of Australia online still, but we'll get back to face-to-face soon. And from there, as I said, you can check out some of the resources. But then also when we encourage you to go to our links page, and then you'll find Dad's Group or the Fathering Project. You'll find some other stuff if you need more serious support. There's Men's Line, and there's a few other things there you can access. So really kind of want you to start with our website, and then we're trying to share what else is out there and encourage you to go and explore what they've got to offer as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And maybe if I jump across to something a bit more personal, if I say fatherhood, what does that mean to you personally, Dom? What ideas, thoughts come to mind when I say
that's a big one? That's a big
freedom to go wherever you want with it, but you might think about your experience as a child or your experience as a father. But what does fatherhood mean to you personally?
Yeah, it's there's a lot there. Spending 4.5 years working with fathers always makes me just think about my version of fatherhood, what I do, and where I've sort of come from. So, I think for me, in the groups, we always talk about how did you become a dad and, you know, what sort of shaped you. And for me, it's sort of like I kind of try and do the opposite of what my dad did. So, and that's just something that comes up. And I laugh about it. It was because my dad wasn't—he wasn't a horrible person, but his work always came first, and that's where I try and do the opposite. I've always tried to. For me, being a dad, I've just tried to be available to my kids as much as possible, and I guess just sort of not, and that sort of seemed to work well for my situation, I try and do some of the things that I didn't like. I try and do the opposite of them, or just be aware of them. For my dad, just he worked, you know, from home, which sounds normal now, but before COVID, he had a home business. That meant he worked 7 days a week pretty much. And he was quite sort of obsessed with work. And he did lots of great things for us, and we never went without whatever we wanted, or, you know, took us on holidays. But it also he was sort of, it did mean that he didn't live with us because he was separated from my mum. So, and that work had a lot to do with that. So a lot of those things really shaped me, because even I can remember being 4 or 5 years old and not liking it, you know, just sort of seeing it clearly that, well, what are you doing? Why aren't you just hanging out with me, kind of thing? So I remember really as a really young kid seeing that. So, and it seemed really obvious to me, even at that age. So that's really shaped me in terms of just what I wanted to become as a dad. And so I always think about it. So it sort of, it doesn't go away, those sort of memories. And it always just reminds me of what I want to do. And even now, you know, even just these school holidays, we've just had an action-packed sort of few days, which has been really great. Because we haven't been able to do that for a while, and you know, just and but yeah, and so just the spending time with the kids for me is, and that is not just about doing things, but just like, I don't know, we just love to get out and go for a bike ride, or just go to the park, or just play board games together at home, or watch, we've got a new TV show that is actually like, you know, we actually really like to watch together and that kind of stuff. So just really simple things that we like to do as well. And that makes me really happy.
That's awesome. And it's nice. Thanks for sharing those actual examples. I was going to ask you for some examples, because so often people talk about what you can do and they're talking, you know, philosophies and principles, where it's actually knowing some of the things that you do and is really helpful, because some of us, you know, and I'm guilty, you know, the TV time with the kids is less about me watching TV with them and it's about more getting jobs done around the house, which is, you know, also needs to be done as well. Yeah. But, you know, we do have Friday night movie night and pizza for the kids. And so there are times when I sit with the children and actually do watch the movie. And there's a great new movie called The Bad Guys out, so get on with that. but I hear what you're saying, and I'm taking notes as well, because that experience, you know, for me is important to actually be lost in what they're doing with them, which is different to you know, getting the job done. And I definitely struggle with that and have struggled with that. But the more I do these types of things with other fathers, I learn from them. And I think that's exactly what, you know, what we do in Dad's Group is connect fathers so they can learn from each other. So thank you for sharing, you know, that space of your personal life. I think it's really cool. Also, I guess that demonstrates that you, like, if you define success for a father in your world, Dom, you probably might not say this, but I'll say it to you. You're achieving your success, you know, your vision of success in fatherhood, because you're doing intentionally what you wanted to do, and you're not doing what you didn't want to do. A lot of us don't have a plan for fatherhood, but you definitely had a plan, whether it was written down or not written down. Tell us, how do you think others can make a plan, or how did you ever write anything down? Did you ever talk to anyone? How do you actually make a plan for fatherhood? Because you most certainly had one in your subconscious that you're actually not only executing, you're succeeding at, with all the nuances of the challenges that are associated as well. But
yeah, well, I didn't make a plan, but I can see where you're going. Like, I can see, it was kind of, it was definitely like, you know, imprinted on me that I wanted to be something different from my own dad.
Yeah.
So that was my plan, but I never thought of it as a plan, I guess. And no, I didn't. I didn't actually write anything down. I think it just really shaped my personality. So even before becoming a dad, just being a social worker, I think that's closely linked to some of those, my personality, and that sort of meant that I was quite good at being a social worker, because I just, you know, just sort of trying to just empathize with the experiences of kids and that kind of thing. But going into becoming a dad, me and my partner just talked about it a lot. Like, she just, we talked about before having kids, we talked a lot about the differences between men and women and their experiences of parenting. Mm-hmm. And even just talking about how we would, like, when she was girl just playing games that were about parenting, you know, having dolls and looking after babies and that kind of thing. And even just that by the time, you know, I think I changed one nappy in my life to that point of having a child. So changing doing it in the hospital in the middle of the night or something like that for the first time, just, you know, in a lonely room, it's just like, it was, yeah. I think I was prepared to just jump into the deep end and just give it a go. And I reckon that's what helped me. And there's not much more you can do with becoming a parent or becoming a dad. It's hard to prepare for it. You can definitely, I think for us talking about what we wanted from motherhood and fatherhood with each other before having a baby was really great. Because it kind of, we just sort of set, we didn't set the tone, but we just sort of had an idea. And I reckon that's, maybe that was a bit of our plan. Or my plan was just knowing what my partner, what she expected, and knowing what, you know, I wanted as well. And I did have a bit of a plan about work, I think. I was really keen to not make sure I didn't work full time, and just at least work 3 or 4 days, and that's worked out pretty well. But I was also aware that I was fortunate to do that and find a job, and it just meant that we didn't have as much money and stuff, but we sort of were able to survive. Going into it, just I guess I didn't, wasn't really, we did some parenting stuff. Did the hospital, you know, childbirthing classes. We did an extra like hypnobirthing class independently as well. And that was really great. Just, I remember the main thing to be prepared for was just the experience of birth, which you just cannot prepare for. You can, it's always a little bit different. And then also it's not the same until it's your partner going through birth. And so there's a lot of things you just can't prepare for, but at least you can just be educated, or you can just at least have conversations with your partner about what to expect and how they're going. And I don't know, that's the best plan. It's just knowing each other and how you're going and what to expect from each other or something, becoming parents. Because really just when I became it, you know, after our first daughter was born, just that first 48 hours, just like, oh, you know, just a whirlwind, just a shock. You're just in shock. And then coming home, you know, just like got this fragile little thing, and you're just in a bubble or something of just like nothing else in the world kind of really matters. And that's a nice thing, but also you just sort of feel like you need to block out the rest of the world for a while just to get your head around it. I think at the time I was like also quite, that was my second child. I got a few weeks off, but yeah, having just, I think I took 4 weeks off. So I think took some annual leave as well. And geez, it's not even enough time, but to get used to having a baby and then go back to work and then just like, but you're not sleeping, you're not, nothing's, you know, 100% at home. You're not feeling, coming to work energetic and bouncing in the door, and you've got to go back to your old job. And I was in a leadership position and, you know, managing people and stuff, and it just sort of, it was hard work. So then the things that happened after that, like I ended up taking a job that was, I went down a level, and then just because it was a part-time job, and I did that for a couple of years and managed to stumble onto this one, which has been fantastic. But I can't say I had a plan, but look, yeah, we definitely talked about stuff.
Yeah.
I reckon that's one of the best things you can do.
Yeah, you might not have felt like you had a plan, but you were definitely planning, and that's really key. You know, that comes through very loud and clear from someone listening to what you're saying there, is that you had a number of points throughout your process of transitioning to fatherhood, both prior and during, and even now, where you're continuously planning. And you know, like you look at different people, and they, if you go to I guess, someone playing sport or something, they have a plan to what they're going to do out on the field. They may not have written down that plan, but in their head they have that plan. I think that's definitely what you've had there and you've got there, and you continue to reevaluate that plan, you iterate that plan in collaboration, as you said, with your partner, and that's kind of what I wanted to understand, how you do that, because there's small, like, we grow up not far from, not our capabilities are often limited to how we've been taught or role modeled, both from our parents and other people around us. If our parents weren't parents that spoke to each other, we may not be able to have the capacity or capability to speak with our partners effectively and meaningfully. So that puts a real big significant challenge on us in that perinatal period. And just hearing you talk about how you've done that, Dom, in your relationship, both before children and now, helps us to go, oh, okay, so it's just basic, like, to have a plan is just to have a discussion with my partner and talk about what expectations are, what do we want. And I think that's so powerful because not everyone does that. People can comprehend that, but actually doing that and sitting down and having a cup of tea, I know with my wife, Kate, and I, we know if we haven't had it sat down and had a cup of tea for a while, then we're way out of whack. Whereas if we just, you know, get ourselves in a place that we can sit down without the distractions and have a cup of tea, we often get through quite a lot of heavy lifting in that planning space, both parenting or life, et cetera. So planning is really effective, and it doesn't have to look complex. It can just look like having a cup of tea together. And it sounds like you guys have had a few cup of teas in your time of planning.
Yeah. Our planning's after hours, you know, with like usually alcohol involved. So usually a glass of wine or a beer or something, or like, you know, something. But yeah, that's sort of, we just like, and we still, and that's what sort of has helped us the last couple of years. My partner's been unwell, but what's sort of, and she hasn't been working. So what's could have got us through that is just, we just always remember that, you know, with talking to each other about how you're going, and even if you're just telling each other, like I'll tell her that I'm just feeling frustrated because I have to do everything, because she's sort of with her illness, she can't do much, just parenting around the house stuff. So I don't want to say it to her because she physically can't do all the things. I don't want to whinge to her that I'm sick of doing everything, and even just doing the dishes every day or something like that. But it's actually helpful if I tell her, and it's helpful for her to hear me say that because she wants to hear how I'm going. And it's not really about doing the dishes or whatever, or cooking every meal. It's just about me just feeling frustrated, and that's what she wants to hear. So even though those are little things, like even if, I feel like, oh, I shouldn't tell her because I don't want to burden her, or I don't know, whinge to her. She's already struggling with an illness. Like, she doesn't need to hear my problems. But it's the same, you know, but she actually does. And it's because she wants to know how I'm going, and she wants to, you know. And so we have this really, that works, has helped really a lot in the last few years, I guess, that we talk. And I guess it only worked because we used to talk before that. And so you can't just jump into that, sort of being having open conversations. Yeah. It doesn't just sort of mean you can just jump into it. It's actually got to work at it and build it up. And so, our whole relationship's been like that. I'm not a very open person about personal stuff. Like, I don't, and even with, you know, other long-term partners I've had in the past, and it's probably been my downfalls that I like to avoid confrontation and... and I don't like to open up too much, but I've really learned that that's actually quite helpful. And Kate's my partner's also Kate, and she's the exact opposite. She loves confrontation, and so and she loves to talk about everything to, you know, as much as she can, and unpack it as much as she can. So we just try and find that middle ground between that. So having the open conversations is really helpful, and actually you can win to your partner and say, you know, I'm sick of doing this stuff, or I'm doing too much of this. But what you actually really, it's not about the whinging bit, it's just saying, you know, actually I'm feeling tired, I'm feeling frustrated.
Yeah.
They're the things that actually, you know, you want to get across and your partner wants to hear.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and maybe it's just enough that you'd say it out loud. That's what I find. I don't want a solution from it. I just want to say it out loud. You can, you know, I just want you to give me a hug or something, or just say, you know, that sucks or whatever. Yeah.
That's really powerful to hear, Dom, because and I think your little disclaimer before, the caveat around you've already built that foundation for the relationship to have that, is really important, because, you know, someone could hear this and go, oh, I'll just go, you know, tell my partner this and dump that. Whereas, and that might trigger something, and I know that's been something for Kate and myself, triggering each other unintentionally has just been a horrible experience, but also something we've learned with, you know, the help of marriage psychologists to work out what's going on there in our minds and our past. So as you said, you've had this foundation of trust built up, and when you say, I'm so sick of doing the dishes every day, that doesn't trigger your partner in a negative way. It helps her understand how you're feeling, and I think that's so, you know, it's such a testament to your relationship and the work you've done in that space, and also gives us the hope, those of us who may not feel comfortable about sharing things that, which could be conflict related, to actually go, okay, we, you know, let's, rather than go, I'll dump this big burden, maybe the thing is, I will be able to dump this big burden over time as I develop that trust in a relationship, which essentially, you know, it comes back to that sporting analogy. We're either on the same team or we're fighting against each other. And, you know, when we often have started to learn, are you ready to hear my frustrations, or are you not? And sometimes we're like, oh, tell me how you're going, but we're not actually ready to hear how they're going, because we've got our own frustrations about to, like, we're just waiting for them to hear so they can respond with your frustrations. So I think it's important to, you know, Kate and I drew a circle on the carpet once and said, okay, now this is your circle for you to share, and I'm just going to listen. You're in the circle, I'm just going to listen. So I'm not going to respond, I'm not going to defend. So just, and that circle drawing for us was just huge. And then when it's that time in the circle is finished, she steps out and then she invites me to go into that circle. And I sit in that circle and I share how I'm feeling. But in that time, she's not saying, you know, if I said something like, I'm sick of, you know, always doing this job or that job or whatever, or I'm frustrated at this, she's not there to respond to that frustration. She's there just to listen. I think similar to you guys, it's taken us years to get there, but those little nuances of how to do it is something that I know I wish I would have just, if someone just told me about how to draw a circle on the carpet and sit in it and the other person to listen and vice versa for me to listen, that would have saved me years of challenging conversations. And I think, you know, that trust is core to that, which you were talking about before. So, yeah, no, thanks for sharing that. For someone who doesn't share personally, you've gone very deep and very personal.
I'm much better at these days.
Very impressed.
Yeah.
Now, we often try to share something that where you perceive that you've failed. The reason why we talk about failure is to redefine failure and success in that fatherhood lens, in a way that you can go, well, failure is just, you know, it kind of a bit of like a Rocky Balboa type approach to failure. Every time you get punched and knocked down is a time for you to get up again. And that's in failing in fatherhood. The only fathers who haven't failed are the ones who are not yet fathers, right? Like every father has failed and continues to fail probably daily or weekly in some element or aspect. But it's, and some people don't like using the word failure. Some people don't like to, you know, call it something different. I like to just highlight that failure is part of our journey towards becoming better, and achieving those plans or those goals that we have. And inside those failures or those places of humility and humbleness and, I guess, you know, realizing we're not the person that we want to be, which, like I said, for some of us happens daily. For some of us, it happens, you know, once every few months. But inside that space, we learn about our capabilities and we learn what we want to be. So failure, what can you share around failure in your fatherhood journey, Dom?
I set a pretty low bar for myself, so I think that helps. I'm trying to think of failure. I can be pretty harsh on myself as a in my parenting stuff, so I'm a dad, so like I judge myself pretty harshly, and like, you know, I think the bit where I feel like I fail often is that when I like crack it with the kids and I'll yell or tell them off, and I'll be, it's not about what they're doing, it's more about me. And sort of just, it's probably because things are built up over a few hours or a day or something, where it's just sort of like, but you know, kids can be, their behavior and they can be quite repetitive and quite loud and stuff. And some days you just can't handle the noise and you just fire off and just sort of, you yell at them to shut up or whatever it is. So that's the stuff that I don't like. And I feel like I fail when I, on a cracker with them, and it looks like when I do that, telling them off, I tell them to have a break, you know, go sit down and do nothing for a few minutes, and they're just having fun as well, and they're just 4 and 7, they've got no idea about how they're impacting other people. So, you know, like when I unpack it, all I do is beat myself up. So. And just tell myself off for yelling at them or something. So then I just feel guilty for the rest of the day. So that's sort of I reckon.
But where is the failure in that, Dom? Tell us, is that you? Is that them? Like, tell us.
No, it's just me. I just like, I think just getting irrationally angry with them and just over the little things sometimes. And I think the failure is that it's just really unfair on them. It doesn't ever go further than that, but then, like, you know, so it's, yeah, the failure is that that's sort of the kind of dad I don't want to be, and so it doesn't happen all the time, but when it does it's just try and be as inclusive or whatever they're trying to do. Yeah. Try and give them everything I can, so that my failure is that maybe like I'm trying. Sometimes I want to give them too much, and then when it doesn't work, like, so it's sort of, it's hard to explain, but yeah, I don't like being aggressive towards them at all. And so when I yell at them, I feel like I'm being really aggressive.
Yeah.
I feel like that's too much. It's not okay. And yeah, I reckon that's the biggest thing that sort of, I hate about the kind of dad I am sometimes. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's at first I just want to acknowledge that that's a big, deep thing to share. And secondly, I'd like to acknowledge that personally I resonate with that message. And I know that, you know, every father or mother who's even listening to that will deeply resonate with that message. So, it's important to normalize that space, because there's no parents that don't share a similar experience in different ways, Dom. So, but saying it out loud, as you've said earlier in your conversation today, saying it out loud actually does make a big impact, both on you and the people who are part of that sharing space. And we're part of that sharing space now, which for me, I feel the same or similar things I expect in my parenting. And we all want to get better, but what makes us, what makes you a great dad, an incredible dad, you know, essentially the best dad in the world for your kids, is that you're intentional about it and you're sharing it and you're not hiding it. You're not in denial about it. But also you've got a greater awareness that you're not the only one and your situation isn't unique to you. You're also, where do you get your, you know, what fills your tank to be able to have those situations and not for them, as you say, you know, they never get out of control, but there's still things that you don't like.
I don't know. There's no one thing. I guess it's just, I think, again, over the 7 years, I've got better at sort of actually at the beginning, I wouldn't talk about being angry or frustrated. So like having a 6 month old who won't stop crying and you're just trying to shush them and, you know, like it's the middle of the night and like you've been in there for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, like you just, you know, and there's, you know, there's nothing else you can do. It gets really frustrating. Or like when they're older. So yeah, there's no, it has got a, it hasn't got necessarily better, but my reactions, but I'm sort of better at what's helped is maybe the things I do after it, after those times is like, I'll actually recently, the last couple of years, I've got better at just like saying, apologizing to the kids.
Yeah, good.
Saying, you know, and I'll do it sort of not long after, sort of just, you know, when I yelled at you before, like I was actually just frustrated about a whole lot of other things, about, you know, whatever else was going on. I was like, you know, it was just the noise was just a bit too much for me. And so I'll just say something like that and say, you know, I'm sorry, and give him a hug and just say, you know, it's not about you guys really. I think saying, apologizing to your kids is actually a good thing.
Yeah.
And it really helps. It certainly makes you feel better. But, you know, it doesn't change the behavior, but it's just, it's a little things that, yeah, I'm pretty good at beating myself up internally. Mm. So definitely takes the edge off that. And then when the next time I feel frustrated or I'm not as close to the edge of, you know, exploding or yelling or whatever. Yeah. So it just sort of, yeah, I guess it fills up a tank, I guess, or it just takes away that the buildup of frustration or self or shame or whatever that I feel when I do those things. And maybe I got better at just reducing that load, I guess, of shame and guilt. And I guess it comes talking with my partner as well. I can't really think of whether there's been like a big milestone that sort of changed the way I think about it. But I guess I just sort of chipped away at ways I can deal with it. And just, I guess, having the opportunity to talk to other dads about how they manage things, or even just in my own work, I know a lot of sort of what, like, I do other work with people around respectful relationships, and we talk a lot about calming your body and your brain and behaving differently and that kind of thing. So I think that comes into it. My work's sort of been helpful for that as well.
Thanks for that. That's really powerful stuff just to hear that, and just to, I guess everyone will glean what they glean from this conversation, but for me it's been really rewarding just to hear, like, in what you're saying, you're talking about, you know, firstly you kind of think, oh no, I haven't really got any processes to help me out of this, but then you go through and you tell us all the processes you do and they're like, wow, they're awesome. So the first thing is like apologizing to your child, and you know, when you talk through me through that, what came to mind was just you've got a relationship with another human, like yesterday your child, but it's a human to human relationship. There's an activity or a behavior, there's an apology, there's a relationship, you know, and it's no different to any relationship in that sense, that in close relationships, we're continually unintentionally offending or hurting people, and we're having to, you know, apologize, forgive, and mend those relationships. And that's what makes us stronger as friends, family, or whatever relationship it might be, is that continual challenging, but also addressing those challenges with healing, I guess, healing those types of situations, which is really
healing bit's so important. It's just so crucial that you do some sort of mending you know, whether it's regardless of who's in the wrong and who's in the right or whatever the situation is, just what I found most powerful for my kids and my type of being or my type of fathering is just making sure that when they cry or when they're upset or I'm upset or whatever it is, that actually I check in with them and I give them a hug, and they don't necessarily, you know, being like a four-year-old or three-year-old might not have the words to describe it or something, but it just doesn't matter. And you're there with them to help them calm down or give them some time to breathe and have a moment, whether it's just 30, it can be like 10 seconds, 30 seconds. You can spend 5 minutes reading a book, and then your kids will just be off and running off and doing the thing that they're doing again.
Yeah.
And maybe the crisis is over for them. You know, they just, their crisis won't last very long. So, but that healing stuff just so important. And simple things like hugs and time, giving them time to recuperate and calm down and get back into playing that game, whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Fighting with their sister or whatever it is, they can go back and just try something different. Yeah.
Dom, you mentioned something just then. You said, you know, the crisis might be over for them. I think that's a really, really, it might be a small, you know, statement that you made, but it's really powerful to realize as parents that their experience of the same situation is possibly and probably very different to your experience of the same situation, both in an unfortunately negative way in some circumstances, and then both in a you know, wow, that's really rewarding, positive way in other circumstances, both with frustration and anger scenarios, and both with, you know, the investments that we put into our kids. And, you know, one of my questions was going to be, you know, a success story on fatherhood. You just told us success story after success story after success story today. And I'm inviting you to tell us something that you perceive yourself to be successful in, because you've, what today's been like for us or for me is hearing, you know, all these different ways in which you're successful, but possibly a sentiment that you don't perceive yourself to be a, you know, great successful dad. But now, if you were to say I am successful in fatherhood, what's one element that you'd be proud to share, which I think is something that's good for us to have that kind of approach to fatherhood and own success and talk about success rather than just, you know, maybe, you know, pretend that we don't think we're at all good in any way, because that's also not true. So tell us about success. Dom Alford is a successful father.
It's great. Thanks for pumping up my tires though. Yeah, I'm very successful dad. I'm trying to, I think, I reckon that what's successful is that I'm pretty calm around, like I said before, my failure was, you know, cracking and being angry and yelling at them, but that doesn't happen all the time. Mm. And then outside of that, like, and probably why I think that's a failure is because I try to be quite calm and supportive all the time. So that's why that's a failure. So, yeah, I guess my success is being really calm and relaxed around them, and kind of just going with the flow of where they're at. So trying to understand that, I guess trying to control a 4 and 7 year old all the time is just impossible. And it's actually, I feel it's better off not even bothering trying to control everything they do, because you would just go mad and you'll probably crack it more often than you like. And it's just this cycle that will continue because they won't stop, because so my success is really getting to know where my kids are at and at their age. So even just by just understanding that kids don't always make rational decisions, they don't make the best decisions, but that's actually not really their intention. It's just that they're just kids and they're trying to learn about the world. So I'm really great at being calm, guiding them, being a bit of a coach as well as being the boss or something like that, you know, in terms of being a parent, and trying to sort of just guide them along life and let them have things that they'll not do well at, and let them, but just sort of guide them through and let them find out when they're going to, you know, when they're going to trip over or fall down or something, you know, and they're learning to, you know, ride a bike or whatever. That's sort of my success, is being calm and trying to guide them through life rather than control everything around them and make sure it's sort of perfect, I guess.
Yeah. I love it. That's so good. And when you're saying that, what came to mind was, you know, people who try and fight water, they end up, water always wins, you know, but you can guide water and you can move around, and children are a little bit like water. They'll always find a way to get through. So you can try and block up everything, but in the end they'll get through. And if you start to learn how water works and how children work, then as you've just exemplified there, you're able to guide them and nudge them and go with them, you know, jump in that flow with them for a while and then jump back out of it. And you've just demonstrated that in such a beautiful way today, that you're continually doing that. And you know, Dom, you are a very successful father, and that's, you know, it is our job to encourage each other in that space, and to hear the way you've shared personally today has just been deeply meaningful for me, and I'm sure for many others that will be able to hear this. Lastly, I just want to get a tip from you to a new or expecting father. So, in Dad's Group, where we're doing programs in antenatal classes and connecting with dads who are about to become dads, what's just give us one little nugget?
I'm trying to think of the perfect one, but I guess just in my own experience, just I think the first time I've got two kids, so becoming dad for the first time is a huge change to your life. There's no doubt about that. Don't fight that change, I guess. To lean into it, because it's going to happen. And if you're fighting it, then it's going to be harder work for you. So I always try and make my life easier by leaning into things, particularly parenting. Because you can't. You'll have a newborn and they just need you. There's nothing that you can't change that. They need you there. They need you to do everything for them. So so your life will change a bit. It sucks. It really sucks that your life changes. And like, I played footy and I was super fit and healthy, and I'd go out three nights a week or whatever, and I'd work full time, and it was great, you know, living the best life, and that changes. So I haven't played, like, I exercise, but I don't play, you know, for a club or anything like that. And so I always miss that, and I always, like, I grieve over that still to this day. Dream about it, but now it's a bit late. I'm in my 40s. So yeah, just leaning into what's going to happen, I guess, rather than trying to fight against it, because I think that's where a lot of dads come unstuck, is they try and maintain what they used to have, and it gets frustrating that you don't have it. And it'll take time as well. So your baby's going to be there, you know, overnight. You're going to go from not having a baby to having a baby, you know, physically. You're going to have to physically look after it. And because your partner's had that chance to look after the baby for the last 9 months, so they've got a bit of training and you really don't. And well, as much as you can be involved before that, you know, whatever you've been doing is great, but you are thrown in the deep end a lot. And so just lean into that a little bit, and not try and fight against that, the tide, or whatever you want to call it, whatever analogy. But and you'll find that your life will be a bit easier in that sense, that it's a bit more, things will be a bit calmer if you're just going with the flow and leaning to it.
Awesome. Thanks, Dom. Well, that concludes our interview on the expert interview today. Dom, thank you very much for being part of this, and I hope it's been enjoyable and somewhat rewarding for you, and just reflecting, having that time of reflection. I know it'll be very rewarding for many others. It just goes to show that sharing these things can have a big impact on ourselves, and taking this time to reflect allows so many others to learn from both our mistakes, but also from, you know, these little gold nuggets of tips and suggestions, which, you know, yourself, Dom, will literally change some of these new fathers' lives when they hear that, because they'll, you know, might have taken them 5 or 7 years to learn those things by themselves. So thanks again.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Tom. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Awesome. And we also want to thank our listener for tuning in today. If you haven't already, go check out our website at www.dadsgroup.org. In this space, we've got some awesome resources for support for families, new and expecting families. There's a lot of mental health support there by some amazing organizations. On this website as well, you can also support Dad's Group through purchasing our merchandise, or a solid donation would be amazing and help us impact the lives and of new and expecting families all around Australia. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. Cheers, guys.